the ideal life is a thought in a person's mind. There's no individual who doesn't have the concept or dream of an ideal life in his life. So there's a concept that a lot of people have, which is the ideal life in this world. And what is this concept? The world that we live in, we need to have it a very comfortable life. We need to have a nice house. We need to have a nice wife. We need to have good children, a flourishing business, healthy lifestyle, and lot of money, lot of wealth, a good status, respect in the community, in society. And this is the definition of the ideal life in this world. You can add other things to this, and every person desires this, and we should desire this. There's nothing wrong with this, alhamdulillah, to have good desires. We are going to live our life in this world for quite a while possibly, and all of us want to have a comfortable and easy life. So, as I said, the title we give to all of these definitions is the ideal life, the comfortable life, the different factors that I just mentioned to you. So, if a person is saying or can say that he has all of this and has an ideal life, then the king of this time or the leader of this time, he will have the ideal life. He's got nice big houses, servants. And if you look at the kings in the older times, then they were truly living their luxurious life. They would give orders, commands, bring this, bring that. Whatever they wanted was at their command. And if this is the ideal life, then we have many examples in front of us today and before. One of the great walis of Allah who left his kingdom, he was the king of his state, governor, ruler of the lands. Why did he leave all of his luxuries and comforts and wealth and riches if this is truly the definition of the ideal life? So in reality, this is not the definition, or these are not the criteria for an ideal life. The ideal, true, real ideal life is that a person, through living his life, he departs from this world. What will happen? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen next? If this happens, what will happen next? If such a condition comes, what will we do then? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? And if this occurs, then what will happen after that? And this is the life we are living in this world. That we are thinking and pondering and contemplating and worrying and preparing for the worries and all the issues that can occur. So if this is the life that we are living now, then life can never be ideal. And this is never the definition. It doesn't matter how much money I've got, how much wealth I've got, how much status and rank and glory I've got. But if I'm not free from the worries of this, and it's very difficult to get free from the worries of this, the king, the state leader, he'll think, oh, somebody may attack me, or somebody may try to do a coup, or take over the lands. And many people have thousands or hundreds of thoughts about these points. So if you are not free from the threat or the worries of the world that you are living in, and all the sadness and issues and problems and difficulties that you've got, and they are there all the time, then this is not the ideal life, is it? This is not the case. Due to wealth and money, and our shops and businesses, and all the luxurious things that we are living our lives with, these will never give us the ideal life. The example of this is a person who departs from the world as a thirsty person, and he will never be able to reach to the fountain to quench his thirst, that he can live his life nicely and easily, if he has these criteria. But alhamdulillah, as I said, we need to live a life nicely and easily, and have an easy life and ideal life. And the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he defined to us how to live the life without the worries and the problems and the difficulties. And those people who, alhamdulillah, follow this path and example, they are the pious people, the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, who may have nothing to their name physically. 100-150 years ago, a great Wali of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad Hussain rahmatullah alayhi, was Shaykhul Hadith of Bhopal and Dakkan in India. Great Shaykh, great scholar. And Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangogi rahmatullah, Hazrat Sahran Puri rahmatullah, this was their generation. Hazrat Muhammad Hussain rahmatullah alayhi, who was the father of my Shaykh. And he had an easy life. As I said, a life of example, a life to follow. And he had nothing to his name. He used to earn from his bare hands. And he had knowledge, mashallah, after learning the knowledge, after teaching, He used to be a shepherd. He used to herd the goats and the sheep. And when he used to come home in the evening, then before sleeping, what did he do? That whatever was in the house, they had nothing in the house. Water even. Even the, you can say, the dishes and the bowls and a little bit of water was left. In the evening, whatever was left, he used to turn it upside down and say, and people used to ask, why are you doing this? He said, that Rabb who has given me today, he will give to me tomorrow as well. And I don't worry about tomorrow. Why should I worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow may not even come. So let me be free from the issues and the things I've got in my hand now. That this will happen tomorrow. Where will I buy from tomorrow? Where will I get from tomorrow? He said, I don't want this fikr. And this is the ideal life. If a person lives and sleeps in the night like this on this mattress, then alhamdulillah, he will sleep a peaceful sleep and he will have a peaceful night. So this should not be our fikr in the world, that how will I pass the next week, the next few days, how will I give, how will I take? No. He had the ideal life where in the night when he went to sleep without any fikr. And if we look in relation to the akhirah, when a person departs from this world, this dunya, then he should have no burden on his head. He should have no sins. The sins are the biggest burden that a person will have to pick up and hold on the Day of Judgment. And the biggest burden a person can have on the Day of Judgment is the sins that he will carry with him as luggage in the hereafter. It's so easy to earn the sins in the world. Even if you waggle your tongue for a few seconds and speak and backbite about somebody, you will be sinning. How long does it take? Few seconds. And such a big burden you will be holding. Such a big sin you have will have earned and committed at that time. So sinning is very easy. Few seconds, less effort is required, but you will take the biggest burden and luggage with you, alongside with you, into the hereafter, onto the Day of Judgment. And this we need to learn how to get free from the sins. So two things. If I attain these two things, how to live my life in this world easily, without any burden of the next day, no fikr, no worry, no anxiety, no stress. What is going to happen now? How will I buy tomorrow? Where will I eat from tomorrow? How will I drink tomorrow? If I die, who will rear my children? What will happen to my shops and to my businesses after I pass away from this day into the next day? If you have these worries, then you can never live the easy life. So, this is the first point. And second point is to go into the hereafter, the next world, without any burdens, without any sins. And if you have these worries in this world, then you will never have the easy life. So to live in this world like this in the easy way, and to depart from this world without the sins, this is the easy life and the ideal life. But there are places where we can go to in the world where we can learn how to attain this status. A person who goes and gets guidance and goes to good company, pious company, he can learn these things. The people of the dunya who want to live a stress-free life without anxiety, without worry, they cannot ever do this through the physical medicines or tranquilizers or antidepressants or by going to doctors who are mental doctors or mental physicians. They can never learn this. You can only learn this through the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Leave all of the worries and the anxieties and the issues of the world. Leave all of the crying and the stresses of the world and take hold of the ease that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we sitting with worries and problems? We can't even release them from our life. And that is why, alhamdulillah, we need the cure for this. The cure, the definition of how to attain the cure. First, when a person has a disease or an illness, he needs to look at what is the illness he has. You have to diagnose. And I see many people, Hazrat, I've got everything. I've got a nice house, detached house. I've got a nice wife. My children, mashallah, got understanding. They've got good businesses, but I can't sleep in the night. Tell me a wazifa. Prescribe to me something that I can sleep in the night. But then the solution to this is to detach yourself from the worries of the life. Now, when, how, who, if, how shall I do this? You have to detach yourself from these worries. So there is a cure for all of this. Alhamdulillah, when you have this disease, this illness, that you've got everything, but you still got nothing. You've got everything in the world, but you still don't have the stress-free life, contentment and tranquility of the peace of the heart. MashaAllah, all of us sitting here, we've got so much to our name that for the rest of the year, I will say with guarantee that you don't need clothes for the next year. For 5 years, you won't need new shoes. You won't need new clothes. Your jackets won't tear. Your clothes won't tear. Somebody will say to me that 10 years you've worn this shalwar kameez or these clothes and you still need to buy more. You still have the worry for more. So if you have this, no, there's a new fashion now. I need to get the clothes. He's wearing that clothes, those colors. I need to wear those clothes. If I don't get that car that brother's got next door to me, he's got the new model. I need to get the new model. He's got the 2015 plate. How will I buy that and be the same as him? MashaAllah, let him keep that car he's got. And that car that Allah Ta'ala has given to you, and you have no worries, Allah says that car will never break down. That car will never leave your side, inshallah. That car will stay with you until death. So what is the cure? To rid yourself. Will you, inshallah, fulfill the cure and the solution? Say inshallah. Because in Islam, Allah Ta'ala gives very easy cure to the problems. Two things. One, you will be free from the sins. When you depart from this world, inshallah, not one sin will burden you in your luggage when you depart from this world. And you will have no anxiety and stress when you live. There was a child that died recently, Qari Saab's relative. You will heard of this yesterday. And this is called the ideal life, alhamdulillah. The child is gone. And of course, there's sadness. He was a young boy in his late teens, early 20s, in Blackburn. MashaAllah, religious family. And I remember this, and this is in my mind, that's why I'm discussing with you. When you see a person, and I'm proud when I saw that person, envious of that person, that when we see people in the world, oh, he's got a big house, nice car, lots of wealth, and we are envious of people like that. But when you make the ideal of the akhirah, the hereafter, then you'll be envious of the people in this world who are preparing for the world. How, mashallah, did he pass through this difficult time? Look at, mashallah, how he sacrificed his problems and difficulty. He was a hafiz. MashaAllah, he recited Surah Yasin himself first. He wasn't dependent of anyone. Because remember, the Hafiz is never independent of anyone. He doesn't need to request anybody. That Hafiz who does his dawr regularly, who memorizes his Quran, revises his Quran. We run away from Taraweeh. Little bit of Quran, if you read 1 year, 2 years, the Taraweeh, the Hafiz reads, then he runs away. Oh, I don't want to lead the Taraweeh. I don't want to lead the Taraweeh. It's difficult, my friends. Remember, the time will come when this Quran will bear witness on the Day of Judgment. This Quran will announce that this person memorized me and he didn't revise me. This Quran will assist you if you revise it. That this person who memorized me, he's Hafiz Quran. The child, when he departed from the world, his dawr, his revision was strong. He said, you don't need to ask anyone for help at the time of death. I will help you, Quran says. MashaAllah. That you lived your life with my assistance. You memorize me. Now I will be your true friend at the time of death when you need me, when you need friends. Automatically he had strength. He was in hospital, the oxygen ran out, and he recited Surah Yasin, this Hafiz of Quran, at the time of death. Who read it? No, the Quran came automatically into his lips. The Quran came out of his chest automatically. He didn't have the strength, the energy, but he remembered the Quran, he revised the Quran in the days and months and years before. So 15 years, 15 minutes, then he did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First he did Surah Yasin recitation, then he did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What duas he must have done. This Hafiz of Quran. First Surah Yasin, then he did duas. And this is the time of Asr in Ramadan. Say Subhanallah loudly, brothers. Ideal life he was living. Do you want this life, or do you want the mansions and palaces and money and status and rank and glory? Now decide. Do you want money? Do you want to waste your time in this life, in these days and months and weeks, for big houses, big cars, so you can show off to people who don't even care about you at the time of death? They won't remember you. Remember, create this situation in your life. Have the concept of akhirah, hereafter, and success. So he raised his hands. He raised his hands himself. He read Surah Yasin. The memorization of Quran came out from his lips. He raised his hands and did dua. And after doing dua, alhamdulillah, he looked towards the heavens. Then he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He did shahada and he departed from the world. Is this not the great way to die, brothers? But what's our ideal? Wealth, wealth, money, life, status, power, glory. And when the time of death comes, Allahu Akbar, no Quran on the tongue, no kalam on the tongue, no one to ask, no one to worry about you, no one to care for you. Rather, the people around you say, hurry up, hurry up. Take his clothes off, bury him. Money, where's his money? Where's his wealth? Where's his bank account? How much gold? Let's distribute his wealth. Aha. But those ill people who remember the Quran, who live their life according to Quran, with the Quran, alhamdulillah, they don't need no service at the time of death. They don't need no assistance. You have got the Quran, value the Quran, appreciate the Quran. The person who has Quran in his chest, in his heart, value the Quran, love the Quran, run after the Quran. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you such a wealth. Allah Ta'ala will give you everything in this dunya. Allah Ta'ala will give you everything in this dunya. Both things will pass. Allah Ta'ala says two things go with you in the dunya. Two things go with you in the dunya. The person who has done shukr, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says there's no limit. I will increase whatever I give to him until the time of the death of that person. Allah Ta'ala says there's no limit of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that you keep reading Quran in the world with tartib and keep getting the reward of the world in the hereafter as you read the Quran. Allah says today is Khatamul Quran. Inshallah. Tonight is coming. Remember, Quran doesn't finish. Where you read the last surah, the last verse, then the Quran will start again. Alif, Lam, Mim, Surah Fatiha will start again. So Quran never finishes, Allah Ta'ala says. Quran is everlasting. It will never finish. The words of Allah are everlasting, will never finish. So Allah Ta'ala says, the person who lives and abides his life with the Quran, then his life will continue in the hereafter with the Quran. Don't think that the Quran is finished today and that's it. No. Allah Ta'ala says Quran will never finish. Alhamdulillah, we'll start again from the beginning. Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil-Muttaqin. Allah says that the Quran, when you finish the recitation of the last juz, then it will start again. Such a great reward of the Quran, Allah says. So just like the Quran, if you live your life with the Quran and abide your life with the Quran and end with the Quran is everlasting, and so your life will be everlasting and the rewards will continue with you in the hereafter. Such a hafiz who took hold of the Quran, who loved the verses of the Quran, then look at his muqam. Look at his maqam in this world and the hereafter. So, has he not attained success? Have you enjoyed what I've said about the hafiz? If he had maqam, he had status, we said he had a house with electricity, he had a nice carpet, and he enjoyed his life. He had such great sofas, leather sofas, when he used to sit, when I drank tea on his sofa, then a phone came out from Dubai, a phone came on his mobile phone, you've got buildings in Dubai, and there's rent coming out, and then he's thinking, oh, he's smoking his cigar, where's the money coming from? What about what I owe to this person? Who's got the better life? The person who has the wealth and the properties, or the person who has the Quran in his heart? So remember this, a person who lives his life according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's desire, that is the ideal life, when the fikr ends in his life. What will happen? When will it happen? How will it happen? Why isn't it happening? Why hasn't he got a house? Why hasn't he got money? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? Allah Ta'ala says, forget these things. So how does this happen? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the cure for this. There are two cures here that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. That first, your sins will finish. And number two, the worries and the issues of the world will finish. So I'll give you the cure, I'll explain it. Will you all practice on this? Say inshallah. We're sitting in Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the cure. So take the cure for the life and the worries of the life, inshallah. Just like Tarawees, we finish tonight in Ramadan in the last day. We will read Nafal for the rest of life, for the rest of the year and for the rest of the life. Just like you've read Quran in the month of Ramadan, you will take the Quran for the rest of the year. This is all practice for the rest of the year. You keep on coming every year for Tarawee. So promise that inshallah after Ramadan, you will keep coming for Isha as well. That definitely this time, this is the time of Isha, we will finish the day. Where will we spend the time for Isha? In the Masjid, the house of Allah. Ramadan is departing and is taking promises from us. Don't leave the promises, because the next year the Ramadan will be displeased with us that I will not come and meet you because you broke the promises of the previous year. So these are all promises that you have to make in this month, that you live according to that way for the rest of the year. So first is you make a promise that at the time of Isha for the rest of the year you will come to the masjid. This is you remember what you did every day. You came in the evening to the house of Allah to read Tarawih. Took an hour and 15 minutes. All you have to do for the rest of the year is come 15 minutes at the time of Isha. So make a solid promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the rest of the year you will come for 15 minutes at Isha time in Jama'ah, in congregation. No, not at home, in the masjid. And when you come, keep this point in your mind that Ramadan is continuing. Mentally think that you are still in Ramadan for the rest of the year and I'll have to get to that Jama'ah of Isha. Contemplate that I'm going for Tarawih, but obviously it won't be Tarawih, you're going for Isha. So this is the cure. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the cure, the solution, that how can we live this life without worries and anxieties, and how can we depart from this world without the sins. So that individual who in the morning sits and does a little bit of dhikr of Allah in the morning and in the evening, in the night he sits and does a little bit of dhikr of Allah, then the time in between the morning and the evening, everything in between that, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will guarantee that time for him. I will guarantee. So those people who have done this, waqi, definitely they have a life without any worries. They are not dependent on anybody. They don't rely on anybody. Allah Ta'ala put such a nur, a light in their heart that they are living their life without the fikr. When will it happen? How will it happen? Why will it happen? What do we have to do? Morning time and night time. Both times we sit down and we do little bit of dhikr of Allah steadfastly. And how much do we do? How much dhikr do we do? I will explain to you very easily. One tasbih of Durood Sharif, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One tasbih, 100 beads. Just read that. 100 beads, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you can't read that, read 50 beads. Half a tasbih. If not 50 beads, then 15 times minimum. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the morning. Then second tasbih, astaghfar. Astaghfirullah. 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 Second dhikr too, yeah? And third thing, alongside that, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. How much? Read subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And that's it. Your wazifa, your lesson is complete. How long will it take you to do this? 10-15 minutes. Sit down in the morning, read salah, you do this lesson, and the evening time comes, in the evening you recite this as well. Alhamdulillah, this is the promise of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they will fulfill their promise to you. You will see in your life will revolutionize. It will transform. Whenever difficulty, problem comes, Allah Ta'ala will make it so easy for you, so easy for you. You will not even realize that you had a difficulty and how did this problem get solved. From running left and right, pulling your hair out, crying, calling out to people, you will sleep so easy. All you have to do is what? In the morning and in the evening, dhikr. You understand the dhikr? Durood Sharif, Astaghfar, and Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. So those people who have lived the life, complex life, you will have no issues. And when you depart from this world and die, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the person who morning and evening, the person who morning and evening spends the time in doing dhikr of Allah, then what will Allah Ta'ala give to that person? That at the time of death, there will be no sin on his body. The person morning and evening, forget the time of death, even that day when he does dhikr of Allah in morning and evening, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that no sin will be left to the name of that person. This is the dhikr of Allah. Become steadfast on this. How to have an easy life, ideal life, and the best time of death. The ideal life, the easy life without issues and worry and stress and difficulties, and the most easy death, and how to depart from the life without problems at the time of death, then follow this solution and advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever Allah wills, that is what we get, not what we desire, we won't get. This is the practical life that will come into our life with the dhikr of Allah. That's why the Quran says, وَلَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. What does the Quran say? The dhikr of Allah is the greatest deed. The greatest deed is the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said in the tafsir of this verse that the dhikr of Allah, which is great, wala dhikr Allah akbar. Why is it the greatest? Not because you are doing dhikr. Not because your action is greatest. It's greatest because fadhkuruni adhkurkum. That due to you doing dhikr, Allah Ta'ala is remembering you. Allah says fadhkuruni adhkurkum. And Allah Ta'ala remembering His creation. Look, for example, I'm remembering someone in the world. I call out to someone, I write to someone who's big, who's a king or a prime minister. If he says, oh, call this person. He says, oh, he's calling me, the king, the prime minister, the president, he's phoned me. And what is Allah Ta'ala saying here? The dhikr Allahi akbar. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu says, the wise dhikr akbar, why is it greatest? Not that you are remembering Allah, because you are big and you are glorious. No, because due to your dhikr, Allah is remembering you. And who that person is that Allah Ta'ala is remembering, then tell me, can that person have fikr in his life? If one person every moment is giving attention and focus to Allah and remembering Allah, and in turn Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me and I will remember you. If a person does dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, and is a dhakir and passes his life that he has difficulties and problems, he's not attaining something, or illness has come, problems have come, then definitely straight away remember that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's given these things to me for my benefit. Why? Because I'm a dhakir, I remember Allah. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, you remember me, I'll remember you. So Allah's looking after me. And if I'm asking Allah for something and I'm not getting something, or difficulties are coming, illnesses are coming, problems are coming, then Allah Ta'ala says that then that is for your benefit, for your goodness. You consider that you need things, you're desperate, you keep pleading to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, if physically that thing doesn't come to you, don't worry. Allah says, I'm saving you from something bigger, a bigger fitna. And when Allah Ta'ala is saving a person from a bigger fitna, then he should be happy, content that my Rabb is giving to me that which is better for me. That which is better for me, and he will have no fikr, he will have no worries, and why am I not attaining this? Why haven't I got this? He'll say, fine, I'm not getting it for this reason, that Allah Ta'ala is not giving me these things, but these things are not better for me. I'm happy 100%, I'm content. I'm happy. So my brothers, this is a gathering of dhikr, alhamdulillah, the moments of Ramadan, the time of Asr, the iftar time is coming close, you are sitting here to remember Allah, subhanallah, say loudly, subhanallah. Subhanallah, this is the ideal life, the best life, the most perfect life. Look at the kalamats we are about to recite. We're going to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a great kalama we are about to recite. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So powerful. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah il azim. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu. The greatest angels of the arsh of Allah, they tremble and shake when they hear these kalamats. Such angels, this is their recitation, this is their food. Those angels that go around the arsh of Allah, they do these tasbihat all day long, all night long. Allah Ta'ala has given these kalimats to us on the 27th. The night is about to come. We're sitting here, Khatm al-Quran night. The fast time is coming, the iftar time is coming. Alhamdulillah, will our sins not come off our life like the leaves are full of the trees? Will our du'as not be accepted? Will Allah Ta'ala not love us? Will we not be His beloved? Look how Allah Ta'ala forgives and gives opportunity to His servants that we can attain the forgiveness. So these are great moments, great seconds. The dhikr of Allah is a great, great action. Love the dhikr of Allah. Make it your habit, morning and evening. The wazaif I've told you, the prescription I've told you, and a greater way, easier way, is go and create a connection with the wali of Allah. Meet a wali of Allah. Say, Shaykh, please focus on me, pay attention to me, and give me the prescription of dhikr that is easy for me. And then you will get the higher reward for the dhikr of Allah. Easier dhikr, less time, and which will be even more readily accepted by Allah. For example, you go to the doctor, GP, and you ask for medicine. When you go to the chemist, you go to the pharmacist, say, I've got a migraine, give me the medicine. Then the chemist, the pharmacist, he will give you a prescription on there. He'll write, take this medicine, this many milligrams, this many times a day. And you'll take two tablets, and the problem's not solved. But you go to the GP, general practitioner, higher qualified. He will give you the medicine for your problem, specific for your need. Tell me, which medicine will work? The GP's medicine. So one is the dhikr you do yourself, self-taught, open the kitabs, read, okay, I'll do this dhikr when I like, how I feel like, when I want. But when you go to the physician who's qualified, ijaza from behind, and he prescribes to you the dhikr, he will give you such a high-grade, solid, robust, and strong dhikr. Soon as you do the dhikr, your iman will shoot up to the skies. Your sins will fall off. So try your best. Go to the wali of Allah. Make a connection with him. Get the dhikr from him. You should never fear having a connection and a companionship of the wali of Allah. MashaAllah, they're sitting just like Hazrat Mawlana Shafi'i Thanavi Rahmatullah said, when you go to the butcher, you'll get meat. When you go to the person who sells cloth, you'll get cloth. When you go to other people of other specialities, you'll get what they do. So when you go to the wali of Allah, he will give you the dhikr of Allah and the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go make a connection with the wali of Allah, with a sheikh, with a teacher. Tell him, I'm a taxi driver or I'm a businessman. This is the amount of hours I work in the day. I've got many things I have to do. I'm busy. I've got family. And he'll prescribe to you such dhikr that it'll be very easy for you to do. Less amount, such that your business, your studies, your career, your life, your family life will continue, and your life and the akhirah will be made. So may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and will and courage, and you as well. Ameen. Let's recite the Durood Sharif. When you recite Durood Sharif, you should recite Durood Sharif with love and muhabbat. When a person, he recites the Durood Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of his sins and recite the Durood Sharif with love. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you send Durood upon me, then your Durood reaches to me, it's brought to me. The angels bring the Durood to me. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when our Durood Sharif will go to his court, into his presence, then it should go with nice, it should be presented nicely, because you're giving a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated that the biggest bakhil, another hadith I will tell you, the biggest bakhil, miser, is that person in whose presence Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is being done and he doesn't send durood. The biggest miser is that person in whose presence and company the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned and he doesn't send durood sharif. He is the miserly person. The Surah Ikhlas that we read, you know, Surah Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ سُمَّدُ. This is such a surah. If you read this surah three times, you get the reward of one Qur'an. So make this a habit that when you're about to sleep, it's a small surah, read it three times. Remember this, memorize this, what I'm telling you. Before you go to sleep, read Surah Ikhlas three times and you will sleep with the reward of the whole Qur'an. And if you recite Surah Ikhlas 10 times, then a palace will be constructed for you in paradise. So this is a great surah. Surah Ikhlas.